Welcome to Everyday Endeavors, a Christian podcast where we talk about becoming more like Christ in our everyday lives. Regardless of ethnicity, age, or sex, this podcast walks through the various aspects of life, whereby we try to mature like Christ daily. I am your host, Osasre Mafidon, and welcome to Season 2. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Suited Up, a series on the armor of God. In today's episode, we are going to be looking at the second set of the two armor pieces and the revelations that come with them. So, pop quiz, what are we going to be talking about today? Last week, we talked about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. So, what's the second set? You Bible scholars, huh? What's the second set? Okay, good job. You got it right. So today we're going to be talking about the shoes of peace and the shield of faith. Where is this? Where is this whole thing in the Bible? If you've been following, you know that we're in Ephesians chapter 6, but where specifically do we find these two armor pieces and their associated spiritual gifts? I am glad you asked. We see that in Ephesians 6, 15 to 16, it says, "For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil." So let's just go into it. Let's learn about the shoes of peace. What does that mean? What does that look like? Why is it shoes? Like, why is it what it is, right? And obviously, before we get there, we're going to break it down. We're going to break each section of each verse, and then we're going to put them together to come to a conclusion or to come to a revelation from God. Shout out to God for sustaining and just helping throughout this whole process, honestly. So, you know, through Google, BibleStudyTool.com, here are the definitions. So shoes. What are shoes, guys? Shoes is defined, or shoes plural, are defined as a covering for the human foot. It is a tool to separate the harsh ground from one's foot or feet. What's peace? Peace is freedom from distraction, tranquility. If you're like, what's that one? It's kind of a calmness. A calmness that we have within ourselves. What is the good news? The good news is the saving act of God done by Jesus on the cross in resurrection, which reconciled us back to God. And through this action, we are no longer condemned to hell, and we have power. We now have power over sin. And what does it mean to be fully prepared? To be fully prepared means to the furthest extent of readiness to do something. To the furthest extent of readiness to do something. So as I'm reading this chapter, I was like, God, this one's a little complicated. This one's a little tricky. What's going on here? What is going on here? And as I was reading and I was trying to understand it, I realized that the verse 15 in what I've studied is a 3-in-1. What do I mean by that? When we're looking at these words, when we're looking at this verse come together, it seems as though there are three sections in this one verse. So for me to understand personally, I had to break each section down so that I can look at its individual piece, because when you read, "For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared." Yes, it makes sense as a coherent sentence, but I was like, but it's giving a lot, and how do I go about it? So I had to break it down. So let's go each section by each section. So I hope your Bible is open to Ephesians 6. I hope maybe you have your notes out or something. Let's learn together. So for shoes, put on the peace. Okay. What does that mean? For shoes, put on peace. What, like, huh? What? I was thinking, like, why is it shoes? why is his shoes God? Like, why did you download to Paul? You have to use the physical tool, the physical gear of shoes. So what I through the Holy Spirit realized over time is that in the place of battle, we need something that will aid us against the difficult terrains of the battlefield. So in the place of battle, we need something that, yes, when you're in a battlefield, and if you imagine with me, when you're in a battlefield, yes, you are in, like, you're in a field. Well, how I imagine it. You're in a field. The enemy's on that side. You, God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, on this side. All the angels are on this side. But you're like, you're not floating. You're not flying. Your foot is on the ground. And a battlefield is not comfortable. A battlefield is not smooth. It's rough. It has its bumps. It has rocks. It has so many things on the ground. So God knew that we needed something that would protect our foot as we're going about this. We literally need something in the battlefield to help us against the difficult terrains of the field. Because sometimes when we're thinking of the battlefield, we're thinking like, oh, it's me and the enemy. Like, I have to fight, da da da. But you also have to look at your surroundings. You also have to look at what's going on around you. I think it was Maslow's law, or Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And the lower you are in the hierarchy, the more, like, the basic needs you're trying to fulfill. So if you're so focused on getting food, getting water, and that's just like the specific hierarchy, but getting food, getting water, you never have the time to sit and have, I think it was the last one is the actualization of self. Correct me if I'm wrong. But do you get what I'm trying to say, in the sense that when we're in the battlefield, it's definitely about like the actual battle against the enemy. And also know that you're fighting from a place of victory. But you also have to be prepared in different ways to go into it correctly, to go into it undistracted. Because if I'm running and I can feel the rocks on my foot, I'm going to be like, God, though, my leg is hitting me. I won't be as focused as I could be on trying to attack and win this or win that, but I'll be more focused on, God, my leg hurts. And God knew this. So sometimes a part of the struggle is the environment that we are in. So for us to win in this battle, we have to ask for peace of our surroundings. So yes, as we're going to go through after, it is definitely the peace of, like, having the gospel, understanding the gospel for yourself, understanding where you are in this whole spiritual situation. But in addition to that, coupled with that, it's also asking for peace in my surroundings. So for us to focus on the battle ahead, we need to have peace in our surroundings as well. I remember that there was a time when I just thought to myself, like, after let me not say graduate, but after you overcome, like, maybe your addiction to pornography, your addiction to masturbation, you realize that, damn, I have a lot of other things I have to solve. I have to work through with God. But because pornography and masturbation, or if your thing is gossip or gluttony, it was just taking so much of your time, and your battle was the same up and down, up and down, up and down, that you never had time to think about the other things going on in your life. So this is all to say that a lot of us are so, so distracted by our surrounding, by our surroundings, by our environment, by the situations that we face in life, that we don't even know what is going on in the spiritual realm, that we're not even aware. That when we're going into this battle, you're trying to pray, but your mind is everywhere else, but like listening and thinking and like, okay, God, I'm really here with you. Side note, if you do struggle with that, which I do and used to, just pray like, God, help me to be present in this moment. God will always come through. But yeah. So that's the first part. That's what I was seeing when it says for shoes put on peace. That the terrain is difficult. It's bumpy. It's uncomfortable. But because we have the shoes of peace, Because the situation and surrounding around us will not rock us, will not make us uncomfortable, or not uncomfortable, but will not consume our minds. Like, it will not be a constant distraction in our minds. We can fight the battle well. So that's the first part. Now let's trickle on a couple words down. So we just finished "For Shoes Put on Peace." That comes from the good news. So if you're wondering, where are we going to get this peace from? Oh my gosh. Like, this peace we're talking about that we so desperately need. What we're learning and what God was like highlighting very saliently is like, my love, the only place you can get this peace from is the gospel, the good news, AKA the reason for it all. You know, don't try to look for peace in other people. Don't try to look for peace in that boy. Don't try to look for peace in your academics. Don't try to look for peace in your finances or your social economic status or where you stay in the bracket. He don't care. Peace can come from one source. The gospel. Peace can only come from the good news, because the good news is what settles our soul. Okay, let's look at the last part of this 3-in-1. It says, so that you will be fully prepared. And at first I'm like, fully prepared for what, God? But this section is talking about the battle of life. It's talking about the ups and downs. It's talking about that situation you're having with your family members, the situation you're having in school, the situation you're having with your coworkers, the sibling that you want to come to God. It's talking about that. It's talking about for the trials and tribulations, for the doubts and uncertainty, that we need peace, the gospel, to be fully prepared. So that's the first one, shoes of peace. And I prompt you that please, on your own time, draw your own conclusion. Not your own, excuse me. Take that back. Draw God's conclusion. What is God saying to you about the shoes of peace? There were many components in this story that says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. That means that for us to be fully prepared, we have to have the gospel within our heart. And that gospel will bring us peace. Peace in our surroundings, peace in our situation. And also, I just find it so interesting that the thing that we take with us everywhere. So even as a soldier, when you come out of the battlefield, you still have to have shoes on. And I love that God was like, everywhere you go, the thing that I need you to have, obviously aside from salvation and all the other stuff, is peace. Because this terrain that you're going to walk is going to be difficult. But if you have the peace that surpasses all understanding, you're going to be okay. Are you spiritually confused and in need of directions? Everyday Endeavor suggests to you praying. Where constantly doing it actually brings clarity. So now let's go into the second armor piece. The second armor piece is the shield of faith. So again, as I'm doing this, as I'm trying to break these down and I'm trying to understand it, I'm like, bro, is this another 3-in-1? And the answer is yes. So shield of faith, verse 16 says, in addition to these, comma, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil, period. I thought this was maybe two sections because the comma and all that. Okay, maybe. But it's still a couple pieces. So let's start. So in addition to all these, that for some reason, it took me aback. It took me aback. Before we get there, I'm so sorry. Let me give you the definitions. I'm getting ahead of myself. So shield. Shield is a broad piece of metal held by straps or a handle. It's used as protection against blows or missiles. Faith, the reality of what we hope for, it is the evidence of what we cannot see. I just want to say that from the analysis and that I've done, and I do not know the whole Bible, but faith seems to be the only thing God was like, I need to clarify to my children so that they're not left confused. But anyways, faith is the reality of what we hope for and is the evidence of what we cannot see. So what is the fiery arrows of the devil? Hey, is it plural? Hey, it's arrows with the hess. Goodness. So what are the fiery arrows of the devil? Any type of opposition, whether it is temptation, distractions, people, emotions, finances, you name it. And let me give you some imagery right now, because the fiery arrows of the devil is actually like crazy. So close your eye with me. Imagine an arrow that has a little like, I don't know what they wrap around it, but like it, when you put fire on it, it stays lit up. So not only is this arrow coming at someone full force, right? As in the enemy has a target he's trying to reach, but once it penetrates that person's skin or whatever, it keeps burning. Or not keeps burning. It has additive. So it not only pierces you, but it's piercing you and burning you at the same time. It's double whammy. So I want you to have that imagery in your mind as we go through the revelation of this piece. Okay. So let's start. In addition to all of these, I think that when I was reading this, it kind of sounded to me that God was saying, with all that you are already carrying. So like we established in the armor pieces, the belt, the breastplate, the shoes, God is saying, my love, my dear, keep holding on. That with everything you're carrying, don't forget to hold on to the shield of faith. That maybe, yes, everything is heavy so far, but do not forget to hold on to the shield of faith. For some reason, that really stood out to me. That in addition to all of these, it felt like a plead. In addition to all of these, my dear, hold on to the shield of faith. So that's the first part, in addition to all of these. The second part says, hold up the shield of faith. So the key thing here is like, if you go into battle without your shield, you are vulnerable, unprotected. And in that unprotection, anything can come towards you. And when you're unprotected and you get scraped once, you're like, oh my gosh, it's going to happen again. You get scraped again. Oh, it happened. Like, now I'm really in trouble. This is happening. That is happening. Everything is coming against me. Da, 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 da. But when you hold on to the shield of faith, you can say that no matter what I'm going through, no matter the trials and tribulation, no matter the fear that I'm, the fear that I have right now, I am okay because I have protection, because I have something that goes before me. Faith. I have faith in God that he will give me victory over this situation. I will not fail. I will not stumble. It will not shake me. Do we have that? Do we hold on to the shield of faith every day fervently? In a place of uncertainty, you have to hold on the shield of faith. There is battles that we do not see, things that we do not know, but holding on to the shield of faith and saying, God, I know that you will do what you said you will do. It gets you through. It gets you through. Keep praying, keep asking God. And something beautiful about God is the amount of... God just has it all covered. Because not only are we asked to have faith, and the only way we can even please God is if we have faith, but not only do we have faith, but if you are struggling with your faith, God also gives you another prayer to pray. This is Mark chapter 9, verses 24. It says, the father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. So I'm even saying that God is so gracious that even though you really want to have that faith, even when you don't have the faith, you can even pray, God, help me with my unbelief. So that's hold up the shield of faith. Let's go to the last part, to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. So as we've seen, arrows, plural. So there could be different things coming against you at once. But for us to stop the fiery arrows of the enemy, which were established that is any type of hindrance, we must hold up the shield of faith. To stop these things, We have to hold the shield of faith. We have to believe for something we cannot see. Because what the enemy is doing is that he's placing a situation in your face right then and there. You're not good enough right now. Like, the person is saying it to your face. Someone is cursing you out in your face. Everything is just going against you in real time. So the enemy will always bring it in you, in front of you. But the beautiful thing about faith is it says that it's something that we cannot see. So that means that even when the enemy is coming against me now, I can believe that in the future I'll be okay. I can believe that this situation will actually pass. So when it's saying and putting all of this together, when it's saying that in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fieries of the enemy, that the enemy is going to throw all things at you. He's going to try to do it in a way that not only will it come to this, it will hit you in the surface. Not only will it penetrate, it might penetrate you, but there will be lingering, as in it's kind of like it's festering. The fire is festering, consuming your whole body. That's what it's trying to do. But because we have faith, because we can say that this situation, this thing that's hurting me right now, it will not continue to hurt me in the future. We have that power to say that. The faith gives you power to be future focused, to look and say that God will do something in the future. I believe that God will do what he said he will do. So in the place of battle, we have to hold a delicate yet very powerful spiritual concept, faith. Because faith is understanding that even though I do not see it right now, I believe that God will do it. Faith is hindered by the disbelief of someone or something. So the same way that God is telling you to hold up the shield of faith, hold it up. You actually have to hold it up, because if someone says something and you let your guard down, you remove it, the attacks can just come. So you have to always be on guard. So because faith is so delicate, yet so powerful, we need to accompany it, or God knew that it had to be accompanied with something that was sturdy, that was stable, and that was also very powerful, that was not easily penetrated, which is a shield. So when we're holding up the shield of faith, when we're holding up the shield and it's faith that's covering it, we're protecting ourselves, we're protecting our mind, we're protecting our body. But at the instance that we let go and we release, we become vulnerable to the fiery arrows of the enemy. So it's important that we keep it up. And that's why I keep saying, like, yes, it might be hard. Yes, you might feel like, I don't know if I can do it, but it is possible and we can do it. Just before we finish, I also want to note that this is one of the only spiritual armor pieces that can be taken off. So faith, the shield of faith, because it's something that's mobile, you can use it to protect someone as well while you protect yourself. Guys, faith is very important. If you see someone around you that is downcast, share your faith with them. Encourage them. Say that just because a situation looks bad now does not mean it will always look bad. So what are some practical steps that we can apply in holding up these things, in holding up the shield of faith, and in walking with the shoe of peace? So what is this week's recommendation? I feel like with this series recommendation, it has to be very constant as to really build each of these spiritual pieces up. And like I said last week, it's the same. We have to read our Bibles. We have to understand these concepts. But I'm also going to add with this, praying. Guys, there is power in praying. Praying is very much real, and God is very much listening when we are praying. When it's in his will, he does it in his own timing. So pray. And hey, don't forget to follow this podcast and share this episode if it edified you in any way. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I pray that you learned something new about God and are able to apply it in your everyday lives. So go, live out your life as a creation of God in your everyday endeavors. Bye, everyone. Here are some bloopers from this episode. The enemy can't say, ah, you're not going to heaven. I'll look at him and say, what? You're not going to heaven, sir. Hey. Oh, it was a problem. God, did I do a good job? Let's do this. Ooh. Sorry, guys. Hashtag editing. Okay. We're doing good. Good job. All right. Okay. Guys, I got it wrong. Bien. Bien. What?